Let the good times roll, EOB Mafia. Welcome back to another star-studded installment of Evolution of Brand. I'm Jason Sircone, and today on episode 158, I'm sharing the mic with the social media Sherpa herself, Shiley Hakimian. As we tap into the evolution of Shiley's brand today, we'll be discussing the impact social media has on the growth of your brand in today's digital climate, how the right content impacts the right people, the continued evolution of social media and what's in store for the future, and the best ways to handle social media management responsibilities if you're operating as a solopreneur. All of this and much, much more is teed up and ready for you on episode 158 of Evolution of Brand, right after a quick word from yours truly. You want to know the biggest problem with podcast guesting, EOB Mafia? Too many people are overcomplicating it. Guests are joining podcasts and going into sales mode, they're treating it like it's a performance, and they're not taking advantage of the incredible networking and relationship building elements that make the podcast community so great. Now me, I'm all about doing things right, doing things strategically, and doing things with ease. I've narrowed podcast guesting down to three core fundamentals that will allow you to leverage podcast guest appearances as a primary piece of your brand building initiatives. If you want to attract new clients, generate more revenue, enhance your network, and achieve undeniable results, then you need to check out what I have in store for you today. Visit podcastguestingsimplified.com to learn more. Shiley Hakimian, welcome to Evolution of Brand. Say what's up to the EOB Mafia and share a time that you listened to yourself instead of what others told you was right, and it led to a major accomplishment.
Oh, what's up indeed? When have I not listened to people and then it led me to an accomplishment? Oh, I mean, like, nobody thought I was capable of anything as a kid with, like, reading issues and writing issues. Like, nobody thought Shiley was going to go out there and do her own thing. But I proved people wrong. I mean, they don't need to tell me that I proved them wrong, but I definitely feel like I've done more than people, I think, expected of me as a kid. So that's a taste of it. Oh, I'm sure there's more. but that's a starting point. How about that?
That works. Shiley, this is going to be a lot of fun. The reason I say that and that I know that to be true is because before we even turned these microphones on, we were going nuts. And you made the comment, you should hit the record button now because you never know what you're going to capture. But here we are. The mics are hot and we're going to have a lot of fun. It's so great to have you here on Evolution of Brand today. We're going to have a very, very powerful and fun conversation about leveraging social media for brand and for business growth, as well as the type of content that we should all be focusing on as we share on social media platforms today. No doubt, a lot of change, a lot of evolution in that space. So I'm looking forward to digging into all of that with you today. But before we get started, tell the mafia who you are and how your brand has evolved over the years.
Ooh, this is such a juicy question. So I own yoursocialmediasherpa.com. And I would definitely say, like, I always knew I was going to have some sort of brand because I have a lot of personality. This is me. I just was born with this. And I think I was really scared to be fully myself on the internet. And I think I was posting a lot of, like, LinkedIn tips for a long time. And, like, over the last, like, year or two, I let go of a lot of perfectionism. And I just put my whole personality out there. Personality out there. And I, like, embraced my goofiness and my random interests and just posted them on the internet. And I think I've been less scared to do that than I used to be. And it feels very liberating. I don't know. That's probably a little bit, like, I don't know if I formalized the brand, but, like, people know me and they know what I go for. And I think that just gets clearer every day, the less scared I am to open my mouth.
Well, it sounds like a lot of emphasis has been placed on your personal brand. And, and that has then translated over to all the work you do, because your clients and people you work with know you as Shiley. They know you as the social media Sherpa. They know you as the person who is going to take their brand to new levels based on the social media content that you create. So they are identifying with you. And that's huge.
100%. I think the thing that I think this is one of the controversial things that I was like, oh, we have to talk about this, is that I feel like the way that, like, a lot of people talk about brand is really about how companies do branding or how bigger corporations do branding, or maybe even bigger celebrities do personal branding. And I look at my clients and they already have a very strong reputation. People know them. They love them. They are really smart at what they do. They have a whole network that refers them more business. And that's worked for them. That's how business happened for the last bajillion years. Like, that's normal. So they have this brand, but it's not necessarily seeable to people who aren't interacting with them on a regular basis or don't work with them regularly. So for me, a lot of what, maybe this is what I call branding, or at least step one for more most people that they should do first before they get into like the design or anything like that, is just like what you just said, naming who you are, what you're good at, what your tips are, what your tricks are, what your story is, so that people can get a taste of who you are before they get the opportunity to, let's say, have a podcast party with you, Jason. And that's the magic of what I do with my clients. I help them show up with what their clients already know and love about them. And we're just reiterating it. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just putting it out there. So if somebody wants to stalk you on the internet, they see exactly what your deal is. And it's very, very clear to their network. And then they show up consistently to the people that matter most. So you pop up more often on the internet. People see that you're a genius. And then more people give you a call and say, hey, I remember you for being the badass person that you are. So that's a little taste of what I do with my people and how I see branding as like early some version of branding as their first step.
And that's huge today because there is so much content to be consumed. You need to put something into the world that is going to help people identify with you and your brand. If you don't do that, yes, you're going to get lost in the shuffle or maybe not even seen at all. Makes it incredibly hard to make that big leap. You're shaking your head. You might have counterpoint.
Kind of. I agree, but I also like, I think that's all true if you're starting at zero, right? If your stuff isn't the most juiciest, entertaining true thing, yeah, people might not see it at all. But if you have 100 people that have been in your network for 20 years that love, trust, and adore you, they will guaranteed read something that you put out, right? Mm-hmm. And they're much more willing to engage with your stuff. So as long as your stuff isn't crap, they're going to give you the time of day, which is how I've built my LinkedIn. Is that the reason I have so much engagement is because all of the people that engage with myself, I have a very close relationship with, and they want to support me, but they also like what I have to say. And so that lets other people have an impression of what I have to say, right? There's a way to kind of force it to work by using the people that already know and love you as a base. And I think a lot of people don't start with that, and that makes it 1,000 times harder to win on social media.
Very true. Gary Vee has called this the TikTokification of the world, of the social media world. And what I'm seeing more is as I look at social media, and full transparency, I don't put 100% effort, focus, I'm not there. That I'm more in the podcast space. This is where I want to spend my time. This is where I want to put my efforts because I feel this is where I excel. Mm-hmm. But with the social media that I have done and continue to do to promote the show and promote me as a brand, I've noticed that when you look at the metrics, which I don't fall into very often, but when I do,
be careful.
Oh yeah, we could have a whole episode about that. Don't get me started on metrics, but what there is more towards the people that aren't in your network yet. The algorithm is showing it to people based on their interests. It's not just to your following. There's something to be said about that, but at the same time on it, I mean, and I'm talking like Instagram, TikTok, but on something like LinkedIn, you're building this little community. And when you build that community up to where you have presence, you're consistent, you're engaging yourself, that's going to make people see that type of content and then interact with it.
Yes, I wouldn't rely on the strangers because the strangers can come and go with an algorithm.
Sure, I agree.
Well, Chris, I have a cousin who's got like 400,000 followers on TikTok. And I think he's actually doing fine. But I told him if the algorithm changes one day, you know, your content isn't going to be seen by all 400,000 people. You should get them on an email list because they might not see your stuff. And so that was one of the things I told him. The same thing for a podcast, right? Is that like you have to hope that they show up in there somewhere where it shows up. But if you have an email list of people who are listeners, then you can remind them on a regular basis what's going on, which is sort of a social media in a way. But that's what I think. I'll tell you this. I have an admiration for podcast hosts because you don't only have to produce a show. You have to like do the research. You have to interview people. You have to promote it. You have to like do the audio. Like there's a million jobs that a podcast has to do well for it to be successful. And I think it's a lot easier than like writing a stupid tweet that's like 2 seconds. There's a lot more thought that goes into it. So I get it, but there's easier ways to make your podcasting efforts more fruitful for you with social media without it being nauseating. So there's stuff there.
Tell us what those steps are.
So there are other podcast hosts. I think one of the stupidest mistakes that I see happening, unless some big podcast person is saying otherwise, is they don't, my favorite, this is a Shileyism. You have to bring the juice to the top. So they'll title, and I don't think you do this because I've seen other hosts do this, where they put like the name of the person as the first thing. And I'm not like a celebrity. People don't know who Shiley Hakimian is. Maybe one day, I don't know. I like my little network. I don't want to be big. And they won't know who I am. But if they say, hey, like, you know, here's the three earth-shattering ways to bridge social media with your brand that is going to change your life. Like, that's a very different plug than just my name. And I think a lot of hosts will put my name as like the thing in their promo as the big thing. And I'm like, nobody knows me. Put in like what they're going to get out of this episode, because if they don't know what's inside, they're not going to click to see more unless they're already obsessed with you, Jason, which I'm sure you have this audience that is probably a little obsessed with you, but it makes it easier for them to say yes and get more buy-in. So whether that's a podcast show, maybe it's the notes, maybe it's the post and the first few words itself, maybe it's the first 3 seconds of the clip that you show that's super juicy. That's something I see people miss all the time. And that applies to social media content too. What do they say? Yeah. Don't bury the lead. That's like the old term. I say bring the juice to the top, make it juicy.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, this obviously applies to the podcast space when you've got people on your show that if you're leading with the name, even if they are a celebrity, if someone doesn't like that celebrity or that VIP person, if that's what you're leading with, they're not going to listen. Even if they talk about something that could literally change that person's life, they may not get past the lead. They may not get past that person. So I think it applies all over, but
everywhere.
I mean, let's shift the focus to the social media side. And this can apply to people that are podcasting, doing podcast guesting, but mainly people that are utilizing social media, which we know is everyone to some degree. And it may not be as much as the next person, but we know that people are trying to get the most from these social media platforms. And there is constant change, constant evolution. What do you feel is the biggest evolution in social media over the past 5 years? And where are brands missing the mark when it comes to keeping up with those changes?
Ooh, so I'm going to take this a different direction. Everything I do doesn't depend on the changes that happen. People ask me like, oh, what about this platform, this change? If I played that game, like I'm not Gary Vee. Gary Vee will tell you every single week, like right now he's like Facebook Reels are like all the rage. And this, he's the one who told me to join TikTok in 2016, right? He's the reason I joined it before anybody was on it like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So, you know, he's on it with all that stuff, but you're never going to compete with that because it's always changing. And if you're constantly trying to keep up, unless you're like Coca-Cola, that's a losing battle. So I don't depend on the platform changing. Granted, I know a lot about LinkedIn and all the algorithm stuff, but what I teach my clients is what has worked in business forever, which is if you have a good network that knows you, I ask them, how are you currently staying in touch with your network? And they look at me and they're like, well, like, or their referral network, their past clients. And they're like, well, I'm not really doing that. And I'm like, full stop. That should be your first priority, is making sure that information about your business, what you do, what you're bad at, what mistakes people make, all of that stuff. That should be your first priority. Get that out on paper so that when those people look you up, they get to see information from you regularly that blows their mind about your service offering. So that will never depend on a platform or an algorithm. If you have 100 people on an email, or you have 100 people's names that you can get contacts for in 10 years, those are yours forever. And they don't depend on an algorithm. So if you can match all those eyeballs to a platform, maybe you already have them on LinkedIn, maybe you already have their phone numbers, and put stuff out there to them, that's how you're gonna, like, your first step should be before you try to hack any of these places. Because most people are not that interesting. Most people aren't gonna be a TV show worthy show or production when they start posting on there. And they're like, why is it not doing well? If you have an audience, play with those people first, because they have friends who are just like them and they're going to refer people to you. So that's how I hack that game, is use the base of people that you have, because that's, for me, the easiest guarantee to success, if you know those people are valuable to you.
So
thoughts?
No, I agree. I feel like, again, with everything that's going on with social media, I think that algorithms, they trip people up. Everybody's still trying to find a way around it to beat the algorithm. And I've got news for you. Not being an expert, just being somebody that sees this, you can't beat an algorithm. You have to start looking at it from a different standpoint, from a different perspective. That perspective being that when you're looking at the content that you're putting out there, and I'm taking this from others' advice that I've seen, when you're putting this content out there, if you have something that hits, call it going viral, we can call it whatever, but it gets eyes on what you're doing. You should double down on what that type of content was versus trying to create something completely different. And that's typically what a lot of people want to do. I've fallen into this trap myself. You get something that works and then you, oh, well, that's great. Throw that away. Let's take another path and see what happens.
Yes.
No, like the audience is telling you that this works. And that's my, when I look at what's changed, and we had mentioned how the algorithms are pointing it more towards people that are, it's interest based. It's not to your audience. That's why the majority of people in your circle may not see your content. They will from time to time, but
depends on where you are and how you may have your strategy. Cause it's,
oh, I agree. Oh yeah. It's different from network to network. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift it this way. You said you are big on LinkedIn.
Love LinkedIn.
Okay. Tell us why LinkedIn is your preferred network and how do we maximize our time on that platform?
Ew. So I will say this, with every client that I get, I always find like their golden opportunity that they're missing out on. And for some of my clients, it's LinkedIn, where their entire network on LinkedIn was exactly their target. Like I had an Indian matchmaker client, and she had a very solid network of exactly the kind of clientele she wanted on her LinkedIn, but she was putting all her energy onto Instagram, where she was hoping that strangers would find her. And I was like, well, if your guys that you want to matchmake are on LinkedIn, why aren't you saying anything to them? Because they're literally going to see your content. Because nobody posts on LinkedIn as much as other platforms. So LinkedIn is dying for content. So they're going to give you free attention. So there's an algorithm benefit if your content doesn't suck. And so for her, like that was her missed opportunity, that she had all those people there. And she also had an email list that she never sent anything on. And I was like, these people are telling you they want to buy from you and you're not sending them a thing. So there was stuff like that. I have another guy who's a corporate magician. And he also, his entire network of his past clients were already on his LinkedIn page, but he wasn't posting anything that was really going to warm them up and get them excited about what he does. And so when we looked at that, I'm like, that's where you should be putting your energy, not like this BS Instagram page that's been eyesore for you and effort that's not worth it. Use the information of the people that you have. And so I think a lot of people have that base network on there. Not every industry does, but a lot of the people I work with do. And they say that the highest net worth of people on a platform is LinkedIn. Like I think the average salary is double of what any other platform has. So if you want to have a premium audience, LinkedIn is not a bad place to go. And there's not a ton of competition. So that's something I really love about LinkedIn. I think I saw a stat the other day. I don't know if it's true, but like 1% of people on LinkedIn are posting once a week. And so they're dying for more. They're paying like people I know 15 grand to post for 3 months consistently on LinkedIn just to add more content to the platform. So they want more creators on there. So I would love the premium audience. I love that my network is already there and it works for me. So that's a little taste of my LinkedIn love.
Well, let's generalize this for the sake of social media as a whole, because I'm sure we've got people listening in the EOB Mafia that are looking to maximize their time on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, you name it. From a professional standpoint, what should we be focused on in regards to the types of content that we're sharing? Is there a direct path on this, or is this going to vary from brand to brand?
Well, it varies from brand to brand, but I will say that one of the biggest things that I see, which is a little bit what you said earlier about like you start something and then you quit something. If you're doing content production that is not your medium of strength, it makes it a lot harder. So I put a lot of energy on doing podcasts because I'm a talker, right? I hate writing it. I put so much energy, and this is my own mistake, into writing on LinkedIn, even though I hate writing so much. So the minute I switched to make more video content in an easy way, it relieved all the stress in my brain, and it actually favored me more. So I think that's part of it, is finding out what kind of content you're really good at, especially for like a growing company. If there's like 20 people, like you want to build it around what the strengths are of your people, but also where your people might be. So for a lot of companies, it probably is LinkedIn. I always say LinkedIn is a good spot to be in if you're going to focus on something. And then email marketing is a great spot to focus on because nobody can take away your email list, which I think is something I learned from my email marketer friend. So I would say that's a bit of it. I would not try to do all the platforms at once unless, again, you're Coca-Cola or like Pepsi or something like that, because that won't get you what you need. You want to force the right people to see it, at least at a minimum.
I agree. I've been very big on finding the platform where you can make the most impact and you're going to have the most fun and your target audience is going to be. I think that's the best way to approach it. So let's say we've zeroed in on that.
Yeah.
Like I said, listeners are probably in their own mind going after different ones, but if we
pick
the one that we are going to do the best at from the general standpoint of content, what's working today? Again, is this something that should we be asking our audience? What do you want to see more of? Or do you put some stuff out there, see what hits, and then double down on it, as I said before?
A little bit double down, because I have a lot of experiments going on at the same time. Consistency stays the same. It's still about me. But what I will say that I really want to hit on is here's what I say. So I have this video series. It's like public on YouTube. It's like 5 videos, 25 minutes. And it's like a very simple way to do everything that I teach my clients. And it's no cost. It's just there for people to understand what I do with people. And the biggest thing I tell people to do, step one, any of your listeners can do this today, in varying levels of tech savviness, is sit on your computer or get a piece of paper and just write down every question that anyone has ever asked you on a sales call. Anything that people ever wondered about, how much are your services? How, you know, what mistakes people make when they're trying to hire a plumber or whatever. We're using plumber because I know you had plumbing issues recently. like what are, you know, how should you judge a good plumber? How should you like, you know, what, how quickly can you get a hold of a plumber? Who's got the best, most transparent website? Like, what else can I say? Like, even my industry, like how can someone like me who isn't a viral superstar celebrity talking about social media, right? These are questions that people have. And if you could write them down with the answers, you don't have to post anything. Just have it written down. Just get it out of your brain, because that could feed your content forever. That could be a blog. That could be a post. That could be a tweet. That could be a video. At minimum, if you have a website, that should be on your website somewhere, because the easier that they get all this information to them, the easier they can trust you as like Jason being my brand genius. And I think that's something that people miss. They don't do that. They don't make it easy, because if I have to spend an hour on a phone call explaining all this to someone, that's a waste of my time when they could already have all that intel and already be so excited to work with me when they get on the phone. So any company should do this. Like I'll give you this example. I'm a part of a nonprofit and we host a lot of events here in Chicago, and we're looking to fundraise. And this is a it's 4 years old, but like none of us are fundraisers. And I said, hey, why don't you explain to people that we are not well-funded? They assume that the executive director is a full-time person, and she's not. She's literally partially a volunteer doing life-changing work for the community, and nobody knows that. And I was like, first thing you need to do before you have this fundraiser is explain the crap out of this, because people have no idea. So that's the stupidest first step that you should do. And from there, you can figure out where you can put it out. And at minimum, I told this to a friend who has no website. She's like a publisher or editor or whatever. Put it in a Google Doc and share the link whenever you get a lead. Say, hey, here's the questions that people get, because that's going to make your job 1,000 times easier, no matter what you do with it.
I'm thinking back to my conversation with Tom Antion here on the show, and EOB Mafia, you can check out that episode in the archives if you haven't listened already, but he had made the comment about a frequently asked questions page.
Yes, and do
having,
it!
Yeah, if you have that on your website and it's targeted towards questions that get asked in your area of expertise, it's going to help with your SEO, and it gives you that focal point and that destination to send people that ask those questions. Serves a lot of good purposes.
Yeah, the SEO one, right? That's actually the most best benefit is the SEO thing. It can help you in every possible marketing way, no matter what your direction is, because that's the thing I see, is that people have no idea what they should be talking about. And that's usually the biggest mindset shift that I have, is that my corporate magician guy was like, I called it look at me post, like, hey, look at me, I'm at a trade show, or look at me, I'm doing cool things. And like, why should anyone give a shiz about it? There's nothing there for them to be like, oh, he's a genius. So when we shifted to helping people get to know him, his story, mistakes that people in his industry makes, and education, people were engaging in a very, very different way. So I think that is the biggest thing, is they don't know that they should just inform people about things that they're experts on, because we think, maybe we ourselves think, oh, everybody knows this, but nobody knows this and nobody remembers this. So if you're the person that makes it easy for them to understand what the heck is going on, you're going to be their trusted source when they need you or when their friend needs you.
Sholly, one question I wanted to ask you, because I want to make sure that we get to this today. I know we've got members of EOB Mafia that are doing this on their own. Everything is from the solopreneur standpoint, and trying to handle all of the responsibilities, one of the biggest being marketing. Yeah. So from the social media side and just the overall content creation side, how do you recommend and how do you advise that someone handles all of this in a very clear and concise manner, putting the focus on it that they need to, but not burning out and getting overwhelmed because they have so many other responsibilities on their plate?
This is the biggest thing that I love to shatter for people, because the Instagram coaches used to say, oh, you have to post 3 times a week on Instagram to do photos. And the TikTok people are like, you have to post 3 times a day. And I'm sure they're not wrong for a big corporation. Yeah, that's probably what they should do. But if a solo person is listening to this, that is not what you should be doing, because you will hate life. It's just like, and we're in the new year, New Year's resolution. People are like, oh, let's go to the gym because the gym is going to change our lives. Like, people quit. And so social media is the same way. I had a client, and she conveniently, she was 23 years old, and she was trying to get on TikTok, and she's like like an old person when it comes to social media. Like, she doesn't love the tech stuff, even though she's a tech founder. She doesn't love the social media stuff. And so she got really excited about TikTok for a week. And I warned her, I was like, hey, you probably are going to burn out in 2 seconds, just like you warned. And I, not that I didn't believe in her, she's amazing. She has a great company. I warned her about it. And I was right. Cause like, she got exhausted by it because it's fun and it has novelty for a little bit, but just like you said earlier, people quit and they don't stick with it. So most people will probably lose on social media because they don't stick with it. The second thing is, you know, like we said, like, oh, 3 times on TikTok, like those standards shouldn't apply to small businesses. And I hate when people say, oh, you have to do this and it's going to work. You don't have to post that much. Consistency is important, but like, find something that you can stick with. So I've been consulting a batch of like 200 plus women for one of my clients on how to do LinkedIn. And she used to tell them 5 days a week on LinkedIn, which isn't bad. It'll definitely blow you up. But if you're me and you hate writing and you hate posting, you hate administrative work, I was never going to pull that off successfully. But I started with one post a month. That was fantastic because LinkedIn algorithms, they keep your stuff alive for a long time. So I would say find something that you can stick with. Don't feel like you have to make, you know, even for me, like, don't feel like you have to make a 2 hour long podcast episode. All my little podcasts for my little sideshow that's kind of fun are like less than 20 minutes long. And some of them are even 4 minutes long. And I'm like, you know what? That checks the box and makes it easy for me. Don't feel like you have to be making crazy hours worth of production. If you want to post once every 2 weeks, great. Even if it's an email newsletter, like once every 2 weeks is fabulous. Just post something insightful. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to feel as much pressure as the world tells us we need to put on it. And I think that's the misconception I want to shatter with you today.
I think that's phenomenal advice because I do think we get wrapped up in these arbitrary time limits and time standards that no one has ever said you have to do it this long. You have to make it this long. And it's, I've always laughed because in most scenarios, if you're going to YouTube, for example, and you're looking for a solution to a problem and you get a video that says it's going to solve it for you in 2 minutes, that's where you're going to go. Yet from a podcasting standpoint, people will say, well, if my show's not half an hour long, I'm not doing my job. Like, no, like, get the value out into the world and let the time fall where it may. So if you're not hitting exactly 30 minutes, no one's going to burn you in effigy.
No.
As long as you're bringing the value and you're doing it consistently, that's what your audience is showing up for. So keep putting that content to them in that fashion.
It doesn't have to be as much as you think. And I think that's what people don't realize.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Shiley, with finding one network where you can put your energy. And if it's hitting your target audience and you're having fun creating the content, that should be the key indicator that tells you that's where you need to be.
Yep.
Instead of experiencing FOMO and thinking you need to be posting 3 times a day on TikTok and tweeting 20 times a day and then putting up Instagram videos. And it just, you burn out so fast because we don't have that kind of bandwidth.
Nope, you don't. You don't have that kind of bandwidth. I think one of the other hacks, I guess hacks, but it's not really a hack. It's like our social skills, but through the means of social media. And this is where you can get more attention on these platforms, when you engage people. And if somebody likes your post and says, hey, Jason, I thought that was great, or they put a like on it and you haven't talked to them in 2 years, if you go in there and send a little reply message to them on any platform, I'm going to use LinkedIn, say, hey, Jason, thank you so much for commenting on my thing. How is your plumbing situation going? I'm just going to keep making fun of your plumbing situation. How's your dog? How's your family? How's your whatever? And but you know, it makes people feel appreciated, right? Like the relationship you cultivate with them. And you know what that does? I say, so my background's in education. I studied education in college. And one of the things they teach us with kids, they're like, we call it positive reinforcement. When somebody does a good behavior, we say, hey, Jason, good job. I like how you facilitated this podcast interview today. And then you're going to feel really good about yourself. And then you're going to want to keep doing whatever behavior I've just acknowledged. And with social media, it's the same way. If I like that you commented and engaged with my stuff, you're going to be like, oh, Shiley appreciates me. I kind of want to care more about her stuff. So if you're on TikTok, Instagram, whatever platform it is, if you can do that, people are going to care more and actually going to boost you up in the social media rankings too, because they're going to personally as a human appreciate you more. And if they're ever a lead for your business, you just opened up the door to a conversation that they may have not thought to reach out to you for. So there's so many wins there.
100%. And full disclosure, EOB Mafia, the plumbing issue that's come up several times as we sit and record, we're a week removed from New Year's, and I had a hole in a pipe that was causing some issues that I had to get fixed. It caused Shiley and I to need to reschedule our conversation today, but I'm glad we were able to make it happen. I got to ask you though, Shiley, before I let you out of here today, as I was getting ready for our conversation, I discovered that you like to play poker.
I do.
Which is something I like to play as well. So I want to do a little sidebar and ask you, what is your most memorable bad beat in the poker world.
Ooh, like a bad, wait, this is like a poker lingo that I haven't heard. Bad beat, like a bad hand?
Like a hand that you thought you were going to win, but somebody threw down and they had the better hand.
Well, I've seen this happen a bunch where like I had like three of a kind or something and somebody had a full house that I didn't expect. I mean, that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. That's something I feel like happens all the time. Like I'm trying to think like what, I mean, one time I got, you know, four jacks and I was like, this is insane. Like this never happens. There was a time I almost had a royal flush and I could not believe it. I was like, I think I had four cards and I was like, this really happens in the world. But I would say that's probably, I would say some, a lot of my memories that come from poker are, I remember when I was like, I don't know, like a teenager, we'd go, we'd have dinner with my family every Friday night and we would play poker afterwards. And I was like the young one, right? Everybody was like an older person. And they like sometimes didn't even let me play because whenever I did play, I would kick their butts because I was more modest with my betting. Shoot, I shouldn't say my strategy here if anyone plays with me. But I was like, but like I would kick their butts and it would feel really good. So they stopped letting me play at some point because I get too excited about winning. So I think there was a lot of good moments there, but also probably a lot of like anger at losing. So maybe that's a bad beat, not with cards, but like with being a sore loser when I'm playing with my family. But I, you know, now that I say this, I really miss those days. So maybe I need a family poker night soon.
There you go. Yeah, I've got a couple. The most memorable story wasn't even really a beat for me. I just remember I was playing at the casino one night and it was a full table and like seven people pushed all in and I had pocket nine.
Why?
I will never live this down.
And the first thing without the flop, without anything?
Oh, yeah. Pre-flop. Everybody was, I'm all in. Oh, well, I'll go all in. All in, all in, all in. And it came back to me, and I already had called the small or the big blind. And I'm looking at my pocket knives. I'm like, no. If every single one of these people has done this, I'm screwed. They have to, I mean, there have to be pocket kings, pocket
did
aces.
You know?
So I folded my pocket nines. And then, so there was probably about $2,000 in this pot. And river card was a nine that would have given me the full house that would have won the whole goddamn thing. Cause the dealer had to figure out all of these different things because of
side pots.
I'm like, it wouldn't have mattered. I would have won the whole thing if I would have stayed in the hand.
Do you know how big it was? This is like what? $400, $300.
Oh no. The pot was over $2,000.
But like, how much would you have had to call?
Oh, I don't remember what I had to call. Like, I mean, it would have been whatever I had in front of me to stay with, what everybody, because it probably is a couple hundred at a minimum, and I'll never forget that hand.
So scary.
That's, again, not a bad beat, just one of those times where it's like, you dumbass, like why wouldn't you just play for fun at that point? Like if you win this, great. If you lose, you'd lose. But I would have beat everybody. I had the best hand at the table if I would have stayed in. Unreal.
That would have scared me. I'm like a bit like, I'm very like, I play poker, like I run my life sometimes. I'm like kind of modest, but like I'll get you. But like any real poker player will probably kick my butt, but I don't care. Like for me, like I won't do the casinos because the minute you put money on it, like I screw up badly.
That's kind of an important element of it though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. But if you give me like chips that are worth nothing, like I will have the time of my life. Yeah. So I love a good tournament. I'm good with tournaments, less good with like, just like walk up and play. Like that scares the chunk out of me. Yeah. So maybe one day I'll play in the casino, but give me some Zynga poker every 3 years when I get back into it. Well, good time.
Well, someday we'll have to connect. We'll have to play some cards.
Oh, that'll happen.
Shiley, this has been a lot of fun. How can we connect with you for even more?
So I would say my YouTube channel has infinite videos of different things, including my 25-minute video series that will help you count on where your next client is coming from, especially if you're a connector with a really good network. So that is everything I teach my clients in 25 minutes, which short and sweet and easy. I would recommend that if anybody's like, what should I do? Like that will literally tell you everything you need to know. It's fab. It's a lot of what we talked about here, but like beautiful and formalized. You can also go to yoursocialmediasherpa.com where you can also get that info and get on my mailing list where I send very easy, very light social media tips to your inbox every other week. Like super painless, easy, non-stressful, just like we talked about here today. So yoursocialmediasherpa.com. Or my new content comes out every week on LinkedIn. So follow me at Shiley Hakimian on LinkedIn. You can find me at yoursocialmediasherpa.com on there, everywhere. Yes, and can I leave you on my favorite closing social media quote that I wish I had written myself?
Yes, you can.
Social media is about the people, not about your business. Provide for the people and the people will provide for you.
Very well said. Drop that mic, Shiley. You've done it. I'll have those links that Shiley rattled off in the show notes, EOB Mafia, so you can connect with her today. And once again, Shiley, thank you so much for joining me on Evolution of Brand today.
Same. Thank you so much for having me. And let's keep evolving those brands and being ourselves and authentically on the internet.
Let's do it. EOB Mafia, thank you for taking some time to join Shiley and I for today's conversation. To get more from this episode, visit evolutionofbrand.com, click on the archives link, then go to episode 158. Or head straight to jasoncircone.com/ShileyHakimian for instant access to links, resources, and show notes. If you'd like to show your support for Evolution of Brand, rate, review, follow, and subscribe. It's all appreciated. But above all else, if you got something from today's episode, please recommend it to one person in your circle who you know will feel the impact as well. You've been listening to Evolution of Brand. Until we have the pleasure of meeting again, this is Jason Cercone reminding you to never stop evolving.